They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Yeah, thank you very much. And again, welcome in to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, we're on the eve of the Players. We got the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Puerto Rico. The ladies are in China. Seniors are playing this week. Corn Ferry, it's a full slate.
Corn Ferry's in Chile.
Yeah, that's how you know it's officially golf season, is when you got a full schedule across all of the tours, which is pretty exciting stuff. So we're going to talk a lot about that. I was just mentioning, for those that were tuned in earlier on the local show, that I turned 50 this week, and I got a new set of irons built. I'm super excited about this. Derek Fox with Impact Golf. He's been a good friend of ours, and he's done a lot of fitting and builds our clubs. And I took the components. So shout out to Dave Neville at Callaway. Got the new Apex Pro irons. And Jeremy Butler at Fujikura hooked me up with the new Axiom iron shafts. Yeah. Took them down to Derek, had him build them up. He went same day, so I'd have him for my birthday. How cool is that?
What?
I know. Same day build, man. He knocked those suckers
That's
out.
Awesome.
Pured them and everything. They look good. Yep. Man, they look good. So I'm excited. The weather didn't cooperate. It was decided to be winter again the next couple of days after, but I'm excited to get out and swing them, see what they look like.
I'll bet you every time you come in that room and you open that closet, they're going, yay, we get to go.
I know they're looking good, man. They're
fired up and excited, baby.
I'm excited. Getting new sticks is kind of a big deal. You know, don't do it that is. Very often. I've had these other ones in my bag for 3 years. So I know that. Probably sounds like not a lot for some, but played over 100 rounds of golf that are, you know, on the one, with not to mention the number of golf balls hit. So, so I'm excited. Anyway, what I was leading to that, Derek Fox, Impact Golf, is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about fitting, what he's seen, trends this year, what guys are coming in and are interested in. So Derek Fox is going to join us coming up on later this hour. And then on the back nine, America's favorite caddy. Some of his favorite topics include the Players, where his player won the Players Championship while he was carrying the bag. So I know he looks forward to that tournament each and every year. We'll get his take on breaking in new irons and whatever other crazy ideas the caddy comes up with. That's what we're going to do, and we hope you enjoy it. Thanks for taking us along at Real Golf on X, and we'll be back after this.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back. It's Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. It's brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort. Check out blackdesertresort.com and find out about the new championship. Tom Weisskopf designed golf course in southern Utah, right there in St. George. Of course, the PGA Tour in a FedEx Cup Fall Series event will be on site this October the 10th through the 13th, which is unbelievable. The resort will be open by then, including the 450-room hotel with the restaurants, the spa, the sports bar, the convention space. All of that will be there. Plus, you got the pools in the back. You got the 19th hole that sits right behind it in between that and the first tee box. It's a beautiful setting. There's exclusive real estate opportunities that are available. If you go to blackdesertresort.com, you can find out more about those. Family Village currently is for sale and available. This is the part that the village that surrounds the water park. Yes, the water park with Lazy River, Rapid River, a couple of surf wave pools, all kinds of fun stuff for the family and the kids, and just a beautiful setting. There'll be palm trees and the whole nine yards. It's going to be a really, really cool site, and you can own a piece of it. Go to blackdesertresort.com for more information. And again, we thank you for joining us at Real Golf on X is where you can find us. We're on our flagship station, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone in Salt Lake City, Utah, iHeartRadio on a couple of different channels, and various digital platforms as well. Just search Real Golf Radio if you want to catch us at your convenience. All right, so as we mentioned, Bay Hill is going on this week. Then next week, it's the Players. And Bob, the countdown to the Masters is on, and I pulled out from my stack. I reached way in the back in my stack of cups, my Masters cups, and I pulled out one, and it was the 2009, and I sat there for a moment, and I thought, Huh. And then I thought about Kenny and I said, yeah, you know what? That's okay. Because when we think about 25 years of Real Golf Radio, one of the more touching, probably the most touching moment that I can remember on the show at the time was live on the radio, was Kenny Perry the Saturday after he nearly won and probably should have won the Masters in 2009, and him sharing with us the amount of all the emotions that he had gone through and then how impacted he was by this show of support from fans from all over the world. It was really one of the most raw emotional conversations that maybe I've ever had in radio, 25 plus years of radio. And so even though our guy, Kenny Perry, didn't win that one, El Pato was able to get that done and beat him in that playoff. Chad Campbell was in that playoff as well. We still think and toast Kenny Perry for that one. It was a heartbreaker, Bob. It was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker. We had him on many, many times. Good friend of the show. And, you know, the opportunities that I had to play with him, saw him in Morocco and played in Morocco with him in the pro-am and practice rounds and that kind of thing. And just Kenny's a really good dude. And for him to be that close at that time in his career and have an opportunity to win, and us sitting right there watching everything transpire, it was heartbreaking for us. I'm sure heartbreaking for him. But as you said, all the support that he received and to be able to come on the show and even talk about that with us was one I will never forget.
Yeah, a great moment in the 25 years of golf right here on Real Golf Radio. He's got a contagious laugh, and the way he handled that. And you know what I'll say? It's always easier to watch golf when you don't care about the people that are playing. Do you know what right. I mean? Like, if you don't have a personal relationship with him, it just is a whole lot more enjoyable to just sit back and watch. We talk about a lot about 2003 and watching Mike Weir sitting greenside right there where he had to make that 7-8 footer or whatever up the hill. He left it woefully short and on the first putt, and he had to make that to get into a playoff. And just the silence. I mean, I thought my heart was going to like pound out of my chest. I'm like, can he hear my heart beating right now? My goodness. And where is he just like calmly just strokes that in and then goes and wins in a playoff. But man, yeah, it's unnerving when you actually care about that person and you want them to win. But
right.
Shoot.
Those relationships and the guys that you like to root for, when it means a lot to them, it also means a lot to us too, as guys that interview them on a regular basis and have a relationation with them. So yeah,
I try to remember that too. When the guy you're rooting for doesn't win, somebody else has a group of people that has known this individual for a long time, and they are just beside themselves seeing him or her achieve a dream, an accomplishment that they've always dreamt about, right? So even though somebody loses or several people lose potentially in a golf tournament, there's always the one that, gets to, fulfill those dreams and things. And that's what sports is, right? That's what it's all about. That's why we tune in to watch. So interesting stuff. So you speaking of tuning in to watch, you were talking about the new Netflix Full Swing season 2. By the way, that moment, I'll just little pull the curtain back here. I don't not sure it was as dramatic as they set it up to be, but I thought it was pretty impressive the way they edited that all together and made it seem really dramatic. Like, Rory sits there at the podium and he's being asked about the live guys being there and so forth. And then he goes, yeah, I'm going to go play 9 holes with Brooks. And then they pan to a bunch of media all in there going, wow, I don't know what to make of this. And even Babs, we were hoping to get Babs on. He's working for the PGA Tour this week covering Bay Hill, and he wasn't available. But Babs was at the end, turns to another media member, and they're sitting there having this discussion. Like, they set the whole thing up like it was this big moment, that everybody, the media almost like gasped. It really wasn't quite that way. But
no.
It was I'll never forget that. I was really tuned in on those interviews, which is probably why I looked like the thinking man there. But I was tuned in because there was so much, especially for a guy like Rory that was in the middle. He was sort of like the captain of the tour, PGA Tour guys.
Yeah.
And then you had
the torch. Yep.
Right. And then you had the live guys, and it was sort of like good guys, bad guys stuff in a lot of ways. And so it was really interesting to see. And look, Rory showed then by saying he was going to go play and did go play golf with Brooks, play practice round.
Yeah.
And then what he's done since, even last week when he defused the whole Taylor Gooch comments, right?
Yeah.
Like he's done. I know people on the live side, they hate Rory and whatnot because he has said a lot of things. He doesn't like it, but there's a lot of us that haven't liked what's gone on with that and the way it's disrupted the game and you know, for the reasons and the reasons behind it all, for instance. But at the same time, I appreciate that Rory has taken this, let's try to also figure a way to all work this out together at this stage, right? And that's kind of where we're at. It's like, how do we figure this out? Now, you had dropped a little something. You got a nugget from a guy when you were in Morocco that suggested something was imminent before the Masters. But the last I heard was that Keith Pelley was quoted as saying just this last week, he doesn't see that happening. So it's somewhere between what the guy told you and what Pelley said.
Yeah. Yeah. The gentleman that I spoke with, I had dinner with while I was in Morocco with the TB World Tour. And he's the business manager for all the tours. For the DP World Tour, he oversees the whole thing, and he really felt that something was going to get done before the deadline, which is a week before Augusta. So you know, you take those quotes at their at their word, and whatever happens is going to happen. But you know, a lot of the golfers, you know, players are softening their stance now, and they want to see the fractured game come back together. And you know, there's a lot going on. In fact, LIV Golf decided that they were going to pull their application for Royal Golf ranking points. And so there's a lot of things that are still happening, and we'll see what transpires between now and Augusta.
Yeah, we can talk about that too, right? And we hit it a little bit with Jerry Folt's podcast last week, but We'll touch on that coming up here in just a little bit. But again, this week on the PGA Tour, it's the fourth of eight signature events on the PGA Tour as Bay Hill plays host to the Arnold Palmer Invitational and a 69-player field on the PGA Tour. It's a $20 million purse with $4 million going to the winner. Kurt Kitayama is the defending champ after holding off Rory McIlroy last year by a shot. McIlroy is the 2018 winner. And leads the field with six top tens and 10 starts at the Arnold Palmer. There's also a 36-hole cut in this event, and Xander Schauffele, which is interesting, looks to extend on his tour-leading 40 consecutive cuts in a row streak. The only eligible player not playing this week is Tony Finau, and we're not exactly sure why he's not playing, but he is not playing. By the way, the PGA Tour also playing the Puerto Rico Open. The entire field, Bob. Is playing for $4 million, which is the winner's check at Arnold Palmer this week. So there's the haves and the have-nots. Stay tuned. More of the show coming up next.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. By the way, I left off there saying the haves and the have-nots. I think I should have said the haves and the have-mores. Because that's, I mean, look, okay, it's a $4 million purse. That's not exactly have not. That's just have not as much as the guy's
and
playing for 20
million. Somebody's going to win. Yeah. Somebody's going to win in Puerto Rico, and they're going to make $1.5 million.
Well, 700,000, but still.
Oh, was it 700,000?
Well, it's only $4 million purse, so yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right.
So 700,000. Right. Nevertheless, that's, hey, look, that money spends real nice. Yeah. And the exemption on the PGA Tour stands.
Yeah.
You're not in the Masters. You're not in the signature events, but you're getting 300 FedEx Cup points and you got $700,000 in cash. So, and you got a win on the PGA Tour. Take it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, why not? By the way, it did make my day that Troy Merritt sent me a happy birthday text from Puerto Rico while he was playing out there. So, he also dropped senior tour on me.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like that. You've been pumping this up for the last year.
What's that?
That's 49, saying that you're getting old.
Yeah. I don't feel any different, though.
Yeah.
I went skiing.
I don't either.
I went. I know. My dad says the same thing, and he's 73. That's the weird part about it. You don't get that as a kid. You know what? I didn't ever factor. I never really played it out in my mind that I would actually turn 50. It's like, when I turn 50, you know, I never had that thought. It's like, well, when I turn 21, when I turn 30, when I, you know, whatever. Yeah. But 50? Almost seemed like you'd never get there, but hey, here we are.
Let's Life's go. Just starting, buddy.
Yeah, I just figured live every day like it's the last and try to get the most out of each day and yep. try to be a good person along the way yep. and help people when you can.
So yep. Yep.
That's kind of what I've tried. And fortunately I've been blessed with good family and friends and live in a good place. So yeah, thanks, man. Yep. I appreciate it.
You bet.
And thanks to everybody that reached out. I do appreciate it. And I tried to respond to everybody. So hopefully, if you didn't hear from me, my apologies, but thank you very much for doing that. So Bay Hill, Bob, and we're going to talk players and we're going to talk about, the LIV withdrawing their world rankings and Scottie Scheffler switched putters, which is kind of a big deal for number one player in the world. But Bay Hill, when you think about Bay Hill, what comes to mind? What are your thoughts about Bay Hill and the Arnold Palmer Invitational? I mean, look, this guy, Arnold Palmer, the king. I shouldn't even say this guy. That almost sounded irreverent. But the king was a contemporary of your dad, right? And your dad battled him. In fact, your dad had one of the more signature victories over Arnold Palmer, defeating him at Olympic Club in the U.S. Open.
66.
Seven shots down with nine holes to play, tied him and then beat him in a playoff the next day, right? I mean, so correct. Your dad and Arnold were tied through a lot of those times. What are your thoughts about the Arnold Palmer Invitation? What kind of recollections and what do you think of?
Well, of course, Mr. Palmer to begin with, and his graciousness whenever I was around, or you and I were around him that first time you went to Augusta, you know, the way he was gracious in his time and said, you know, we're sitting in the champions locker room and my dad says, you know, we've got a radio show and he wanted to do an interview right there on the spot. But he was always so gracious. I remember one time when I was at Augusta, I was probably 14 or 15 years old, maybe. And we went to this restaurant right across the street from Augusta National on Washington Road. And the restaurant was called the Green Jacket. Okay. They don't have it there anymore, but the restaurant was called the Green Jacket. We always used to go there to have a dinner. And Arnold came in and sat down and people had come up to him and asking him for autographs and that kind of thing. And I said to my dad, hey, I want to get an autograph from Mr. Palmer. And he goes, just go over and ask him. And so I went over there and he looked me right in the eye and he said, I'd be glad to sign that. He signed it, you know, and it was really cool. He made you feel like you were the only person in the room. Mm. And that's what I appreciated about him. Other than he was a guy that was a contemporary of my dad and my dad fought him tooth and nail when they were playing golf. But also the golf course that he designed there is an amazing golf course. It's got some really risk reward shots, some tough holes. You know, the sixth hole, which is the par five, where you got to cut off the corner in the lake. You know, John Daly made an 18 on that hole. And this week, you had, let me see, what's his name? You had a guy, Tommy Fleetwood, made a 10 in the second round there. To miss the cut and on his way to an 80 in the second round. So that's a really interesting hole and a crucial hole off the tee for the guys. And they just have to decide how much they're going to try to bite off if they're going to hit a really, really good shot. So, but it's a phenomenal course. I think about the 18th hole coming down, the 17th hole, the 16th hole, which is a par five. Where you can make up some shots. 17's a tough shot, man. It's a long par three. And then the 18th hole over the water, Robert Gammez 1 year making a two on there to beat Greg Norman. So yeah, there's a lot of great stuff about Bay Hill. And it's a fun golf course. It really is a fun golf course.
Rory McIlroy has won back. As I said, back in 2018, he's got six top tens in 10 starts.
Wow.
Which is pretty good. He got off to a bit of a struggle in the first round and shot 73, came back with 70, moved up 24 spots, currently tied 25. But, you know, he spent quite a bit of time working on that putter after round number one. And so things went a little bit better for him in round number two. You mentioned Jordan Spieth, who's tied with Rory McIlroy.
He's only played twice. He's only played twice at the API, and both times he finished fourth or tied for fourth.
Wow.
So
that's pretty good.
Not necessarily a golf course that fits his game, but yet he plays really well there. Probably fits his eye really, really well. So And then you were talking about putters and Rory working on his putter. How about Scheffler getting five new putters during his off week and bringing, what is it, a spider out this week?
He's got the spider going.
Yeah, half inch longer, going back to the pistol grip, not the big grip. And, you know, that guy, all he has to do is putt just average. He doesn't have to be the best putter in the game, in the professional game. He just has to putt just average. And he lights it up and wins golf tournaments just because of his ball striking.
Well, in that first round, he had 31 putts.
Yeah.
With that spy. That's not, I mean, it's tied for 54th.
Yeah. And there's only, what, 68, 70 players, 80 players
69,
playing?
69 players that are playing this week. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're 54th, if you can get up another couple of spots, just break even with your strokes game putting, he'll wipe the field out.
Yeah, he was number one strokes gained off the tee. He was 15th strokes gained approach the green. He's 27th strokes gained around the green. And then he drops to 55th in putting after that first round. So, yeah, I mean, look, that's the whole key of it, right? So it's tough. But look, like I say, if you have the entire golf industry at your disposal, you got to switch putters up. Like, it's going to be a mental thing. It's going to be a challenge. And I know you just want to put it behind you. And the more you change putters, the more it gets brought up and you get asked questions about it and all that kind of thing. But you can take a new putter as like a kind of a new friend, if you will.
Yeah.
And one that doesn't know all the baggage and the history that you carry around that maybe you, all your other older friends know about. Right. So you can take this new friend with you. And you can just create good memories going forward. And you know what? If that relationship lasts for a round or two or 10, and then you have to change and find another new friend, I'm all about that. I get it. Golf is hard. Whatever's going to get that ball in the hole. I remember, Bob, I've tried putters. I got five or six of them lined up right here next to my studio here. And I remember you said, and I would be out putting with one. I'm like, man, I'm stroking this thing. It's rolling so good. It's just burning some edges right now. And you said something like your dad. What did your dad say about that?
I got this new putter and I'm hitting putts with it and I'm burning edges and stuff like that. And he goes, you need to get a new putter. And I said, what do you mean? It rolls really well. It's hitting edges. I'm really close. And he goes, if it's not going in the hole, guess what? Get rid of it.
Check your alignment. No, don't do any of that. Just get a new putter.
If it's not going in the hole, get a new one.
If it's not going in the hole, get a new one. That's the theme. That's the theme for today. All right. Hey, Live Golf drops their petition for world ranking points. Now, we had mentioned, and Jerry Foltz, by the way, in his podcast was right on. He said, essentially, at this point in time, even if they did start allowing them to have world ranking points, all of them have slipped to the point where they're not going to be able to really rise to where they were in the first place. So now they're taking the stance of, let's go ahead and discredit the world golf ranking by not even being interested in the world golf ranking and try to make that the talking point, which would cause, in their mind, hopefully cause a change to be made in the qualifications to get into major championships and other big events. What do you think?
Well, I also thought it was interesting that they had their number one player who jumped over Jon Rahm, who jumped on board and basically said the same thing, that the world golf rankings are outdated. And he has been very vocal about the world golf rankings before when he was playing on the PGA Tour primarily. But, you know, it's interesting they take this stance now that they're not included. And again, it's the same stance of bend towards our will, not us towards your will, because we're the new one on the block and we want you to do what we say. And so it's kind of interesting. But I think it's a bad move. It's a bad move on their part because they didn't see that anything was going to happen. Or they didn't decide to change their outlook and the way they're playing the game to conform with the world golf rankings.
Well, and if you don't, then obviously it's going to handicap the guys that are on your tour. Hey, when we come back, as we mentioned, Derek Fox, a little bit more on custom fitting next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Now, back back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, and time to talk a little golf clubs and custom fitting and instruction with our good friend. He's the founder of Impact Golf. Derek Fox joins us right now. You can check him out at impactgolfcenter.com. Derek, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you back on the show. Here we are in a new year, and it's springtime and new season. You've got a lot of manufacturers that have come out with their new equipment. And, you know, look, at places like Utah, where we're jonesing to get out and play some golf, but we're in a seasonal climate, and the skiing's premier right now, but we're starting to get little tastes of springtime, and the snow's melted. A lot of golf courses are starting to open up intermittently when the weather allows. So I'm guessing you're starting to see it ramp up there where, you know, players are jonesing to get out and try some new gear, huh?
Yeah. March, April, May are always usually really slammed in the fitting world. You know, all the new stuff launched kind of late January, February. People are still kind of buried, and now they're starting to get the itch, and, you know, the ideas of new clubs start to get in their heads. I think the marketing ramps up this time of year, it seems like, too, and golf season on tour ramps up. They see all the new people playing it. So, yeah, March, April, May is always usually busy for us. On the fitting circuit. So it's fun. It's fun to get the new stuff, see how people hit it, and see kind of what surprises are out there for the year. So
I always like to ask you this, just you kind of got the finger on the pulse as people are coming in. I assume that when people come in, they got their eye on something like, hey, I want to try this new driver or these new irons, or I heard about this new hybrid or what have you. What's kind of the buzz? What's the demand from that you're seeing so far early on in the fitting season?
I mean, I definitely think, you know, the two giants of Callaway and TaylorMade, you know, they're coming out with some good marketing, and the AI smoke has been really taken off for me so far this year. A lot of people are interested in that. The QI10, in my opinion, is a big step up, not only in cosmetics, feel, performance-wise. You know, that new TaylorMade is a lot more forgiving than last year. So I actually think last year was maybe a little bit of a down year for me on TaylorMade standards. I think this will be another good one. You know, Ping's always popular because, you know, Ping tends to, you know, they claim to design the golf club for the everyday golfer. So always touted to be the most forgiving. And so I do with all those. I mean, the Titleist too, we've had a really good run with the TSR series. So that'll be phasing out by the fall. But I mean, it's been a great couple of years to get fit for drivers. I mean, obviously they're regulated by the rules, but they're making them more forgiving. And I've really been impressed with the drivers the last couple of years. And so, yeah, it's been good. Iron-wise, you know, we do really well here with all the brands that, you know, Strixon. We really have done well with their product line, with the forging process they use, the Japanese Forge, the V-Sole. You know, the Mizuno lines have been starting to take off really good. Obviously, I always do well with the P790s, and, you know, the new Apex Pros just came out, which I know we just got a shiny set of those built up, and this year's Apex Pro I like much better than last batch, so I would expect another really good run with those as well. So
I love it. Derek Fox, Impact Golf, joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. It's my 50th this week, and you guys were awesome to get that build together. So shout out to my friends at Callaway and Fujikura for sending the components over, and, you know, always rely on you to build those there at Impact. You've been not only my golf instructor, but to building clubs for me for a long, long time. But what am I looking forward to? Because to be honest with you, I had a demo day. I didn't get in. You're so busy these days, Derek. And I kind of have, I'll say this, I kind of have maybe my specs are kind of in my mind. I feel like what I've been hitting has been working. You know, I've actually really liked the previous Apex Pro. So I kind of just built them to the same specs. But what can I expect? I got this Axiom shaft that's new to me. And then these new heads, the Apex Pros from Callaway.
Yeah, so the Apex Pro has a little, they did a much higher quality steel in the forging process of the faceplate on that. They are injection molded, so, you know, you get some of that forgiveness. I feel like in testing, sometimes when you get that injection molding, you always run the risk of some heaters. Just because you're adding that forgiveness in, I feel like the Apex Pro in testing so far has kind of minimized the heater. You still have it a little bit, but not maybe as much as some of the other injection molded irons. And plus the feel off the face is super soft, going with the softer steel on the face plate. Clean look from the top line. I mean, they look like blades and they're fairly forgiving clubs. So it gets you kind of that classic look. Mixed with the Axiom shafts, you know, we're one of the top Fujikura dealers in the world, and we're big fans of what they do at Fujikura. The VeloCore technology is kind of a game changer with kind of stabilizing the tip of shafts to eliminate some of the gear effect, tighten your dispersions. They added that into the Axiom line last year. It is a little bit of a higher price point graphite shaft, but graphite, I think you'll see more and more people go to as the technology keeps getting better, like the Axiom. It's definitely, we've done really well with it here. You know, to have a graphite shaft, but you get maybe some of the benefits of graphite for wear and tear on your body, the trajectory, spin, but you also get some of the stability that you want in steel with that VeloCore tip. So it's a really good product that we're really excited about here at Impact Golf. So it's been an awesome set, dude.
I'm excited to go play.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm excited to go play. Yeah. Derek Fox joining us here on Real Golf Radio. All right, so let's do this again because I know there's people listening. They're like, yeah, thanks. Glad you got a new set of clubs. But what do I do? What's my move? You know, how do I go in there? How do I get a hold of Derek? How do I even start the process? Tips for guys out there that are looking at a new set and, you know, trying to decide what's best for them. Take us through kind of a little step-by-step on how to get started on picking out a new set of irons. Or yeah, driver, for that matters.
Get set up. You know, so our phone number is 801-987-8934. Just call. You know, I have myself plus four other certified fitters working for me now that I've personally trained, and they've shadowed me for some of them going on 3-4 years. So they're awesome fitters. All my fitters are either golf professionals or college players or mini tour players. I'm a big fan of trying to hire great players that I can teach to be great fitters. So you call, get the appointment first for whatever you want. We charge a fitter's fee and then we discount that 50% with the purchase of any clubs. From there, we run you through a pretty extensive process. I mean, you've been through it before. We have a ton of shaft head combinations. Try to find out what the best combination is for you. We do only fit to the upgraded components here. Because, you know, we're big believers in the shaft piece is just as important as the head piece. One of the things that does make us different, though, is we have added a good option to purchase, which I didn't always have. But, you know, price points can get pretty pricey when you start throwing up graded shafts in a full set. So we run, at the end of the fitting, we go through a price. We kind of have three options to buy the clubs. We have a good option, a better option, and a best option. Your good option is actually a recommended stock price. So it'd be very price competitive to a big box store online. But what you're going to get there is as the fitter, we'll go into the back office and find the free upgrade that is closest to the expensive upgrade. So we'll look at profiles, spin profiles, kick points, weight. You know, we'll do all that research for you so that if you are on a little bit of a budget, we'll try to pick. You know, when I first started fitting, there were no options there. It was just an RS and an X. Now there are, but it still is kind of a tricky thing to navigate. So let us find the profile that fits you the best and then try to find the best match on the free upgrade. I mean, golf clubs are expensive now anyway. So even if you're going to buy something, get fit, come in here. You know, we can get you that good option as well, which is pretty exciting that we're offering that now. Kind of a price competitive point. And then from there it's upgrades. You know, we do a free basic build with every upgraded shaft you buy through us. So we'll cut it and glue it in at no charge. And then we do offer our best product is when we add the tour build to it, which includes SST shaft curing, which we're massive advocates of here. It kind of aligns the shaft, shows us where we should glue it in. So it'll have the best stability, best performance and consistency. I've got a lot of stories that are fun about peering. One of my favorites is actually with Bob. He did a driver, loved it. Then I saw him at a scramble wasn't loving it. I saw his grip was crooked. So I'm like, well, you rotated your pure point. This is like on the third hole of the scramble. And so I unscrewed it, screwed it back into the pure point, and he didn't miss a fairway the rest of the day. So a lot of stories like that where the puring, I mean, if you're going to spend that kind of money on a shaft, we really feel like it's up there, but we want to give people options. So we got options for every budget, but you know, don't sacrifice a great fit because you think that, you know, I mean, an awesome, really great set of custom with upgraded shafts can get pricey, but we don't want you to scare that away from a great experience here at Impact. And then we can work with you to design whatever package you need to fit within your budget. So that's kind of something we're pushing a lot more this year and trying to just make sure everybody gets what they need for the price they can afford. So we're excited about that. And like I said, I got awesome fitters that work for me. I work with them personally every day, making sure they're on top of things. They shadow me quite a bit. So, you know, just trying to teach my skills to some eager, awesome golfers that can help more people with their game. So
I love it. And Derek, if somebody has a particular brand that they want to play when they come in, I'm sure maybe that's their focus, but they might want to try a couple others. What do you say about that? If you're a fan of a brand and you want to stick with it, do you just kind of fit the right shaft? I mean, or do guys say, hey, I'm seeing better numbers with this other club that I didn't think I wanted, and they stick with what's the ratio of I came in with my heart set on this and I switched to this just purely on the numbers? Or do people, when they love a product, that helps them maybe swing it a little with a little more confidence?
So our comment that I make to a lot of these people is you're paying them to pay their clubs, not the other way around like the pros. So I try to get them to be fairly brand agnostic because it's like, look, you know, you're here to get what you hit the best. Obviously, we're going to hit the brands you like, but be open-minded. And most guys coming to me are pretty open-minded. And once we can show them the results of what's the best, they tend to go for it. I obviously am, I'm taking the player's feedback a lot as well as a fitter. You know, you got to like what you see. You got to like what it feels like. I mean, you got to like what you're looking down at. And so it doesn't matter if it's necessarily the best if you can't stand looking at it. So I do train my fitters to take that into account. You know, some guy, I do have the rare guy that will just play Titleist or he'll just play Ping. And that's fine. You know, at that point, they're your clubs. So our job at that point would be, you know, if you are stuck and you just want one brand, our job would be to make that the best possible selection within that brand as possible. But I would caution people anytime you get fit to have an open mind because it's shocking to me how often somebody comes in expecting one brand to be what they want. They walk out with something else and they love it. It's also shocking to me as a fitter how often I think somebody will hit a certain thing really well and be like, oh, that guy's going to be perfect for this club. And then they end up hitting something totally different, better. And I think a lot of that does have some to do with that subconscious look and feel and the waiting and, you know, kind of the wand picks you, you know? So it's definitely something that the experience is fun. So coming in with an open mind, I think, is always a positive.
I love that you ended on that. It is fun. It's a fun process to go through. It's cool. It gives you a lot of confidence knowing you've been custom fit and that this is made for you and your swing. Derek, thanks so much, man. We're going to have you on again and talk instruction because, again, I love your approach to the swing and it's helped me a ton for sure. So really appreciate you sharing some insights. Again, check out impactgolfcenter.com where you can, you got all the information there. You can book your time, give them a call and get on the fitting list and go get fit for your favorite new product or what might become your favorite new product once Derek gets done with you and you go through that process. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, you bet. One quick thing too. We do have two new locations coming in Kaysville and St. George. So be looking for those if you need to get fit in some of the other areas. So
I love that.
Exciting.
That's right. Congratulations on the expansion for sure. All right, that was Derek Fox joining us here on Real Golf Radio, and had a chance to catch up with him late the other night. Bob, you heard him talk about kind of coming in brand agnostic a little bit. I think it's okay to have your biases and what you like to play. I think that says a lot, as he mentioned, but also be open to, you know, what it is that might be better fit for you. And I think that's something, unless you just can't stand to look down on it.
Yeah.
Look, if the numbers are telling you one thing, then you could probably really get behind something.
you know, what's amazing is in today's day and age of golf equipment and, you know, the designers and the engineers and everything that goes on, there are so many great products in the game right now. We happen to like and love Callaway and what they do for us. You know, you got a new set of irons. I had new irons last year. You got the new AI smoke driver, and I'm waiting to get mine. But keep your options open, and go by what the numbers say. And you know what? You're going to have a better experience and a lot more fun in what you're able to do with your golf game if you're looking and getting fit for new equipment.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, look, it's relative. I look at golf balls, for instance. You know, mm-hmm. everybody's just going to play Titleist because that's what they play on tour. And the Titleist golf balls are really good. When I play Titleist, there's certain conditions that I feel like I spin it a little too much. You know, so, but I also really like the greenside control. So it kind of depends on what your game is, right? I mean, yeah. How do you like shots to react? How do you affect the golf ball with your swing? You know, things like that. So, and you can, I mean, the fit on the golf ball is right there with your fit on the driver, irons, wedges, putter, everything, right? Putter's another interesting. Some people like inserts. Some people like just that forged. You know, the feel is a little bit different. Do you like it a little firmer feel, a little softer feel coming off the face? So, I mean, there's just so many things. Take that all in, get fit, and that's how you really, really enjoy the game. It's a plus, as I, like I just said there, it's a fun process, and appreciate Derek. I mean, he's been a good friend and a good asset to us to be able to get some of these fittings done for us. So, hey, stay tuned. Hour number two is coming up next right here on Real Golf Radio.